Say, can I interest you in the future of your continent? It seems strange to feel the need to ask that question. Of all the cheap magazines and diet columns people will read, hardly anyone will bother with 36 pages about the climate threat to North America. It took a lot of scientists, culling results from hundreds of millions of dollars worth of research, in the last 5 years, to get the picture of what weird weather will do to North America. Then government hacks from big polluters like Saudi Arabia, China, Russia, and America softened it up and tossed in less certainty, just as surely as the Bush White House censored its own scientists. But this is the age of the internet, when information flies faster than control. Leaked copies of the final review document, written by the real scientists, have popped up. If you Google the following words, you'll likely find it for yourself. IPCC, Fourth Assessment, Final Draft. I'm going to assume that you do care, so let's take a look. There were two coordinating lead authors, one from the United States, the other from Canada. In fact, all the authors and review editors are balanced half and half between the U.S. and Canada. Each statement is followed by their level of confidence, how true they think it is. We know they are funded by the governments or major universities, who are also funded by the governments. So even this uncensored report may present a low estimate of the dangers we face. I sure hope so, because this is one big warning. They begin by saying, quote, North America has experienced locally severe economic damage, plus substantial ecosystem, social, and cultural disruption from recent weather-related extremes, including hurricanes, other severe storms, floods, droughts, heat waves, and wildfires. Very high confidence. End quote. We're already feeling the impact of climate change, but you knew that. Of course, we think with our wealth and technology we can adapt to anything. Most of us still believe that, even after Katrina wiped out part of New Orleans. When it comes to our response to global warming, the authors of the second working group have to dance around a difficult social reality. The vulnerability of North America depends on the effectiveness and timing of adaptation, and the distribution of coping capacity, which varies spatially and among sectors. Very high confidence. Although North America has considerable adaptive capacity, actual practices have not always protected people and property from adverse impacts of climate variability and extreme weather events. Especially vulnerable groups include indigenous peoples and those who are socially or economically disadvantaged. Traditions and institutions in North America have encouraged a decentralized response framework, where adaptation tends to be reactive, unevenly distributed, and focused on coping with rather than preventing problems. Mainstreaming climate change issues into decision-making is a key prerequisite for sustainability. End quote. So, we could deal with it up to a point, but our history and economic system may play against us. Aboriginal people and the poor will be the first victims, as the Inuit in the North already are. And as the scientists say, our federal governments tend to react after the fact. They haven't begun to act to protect us from the worst impacts of an unstable climate. In just one minor example, municipalities and districts continue to issue building permits along oceanfront that we know will be buffeted by storms, high tides, and seas stronger and higher than we have ever seen. Then it will be flooded. Likewise, our dikes and shoreline defenses have been allowed to languish, unfunded. And those are minor examples compared to the possible impacts on industrial agriculture and our food supply, or the new health hazards. How many doctors in Canada could recognize the tropical diseases coming our way or already arrived, such as West Nile virus or the fungus that killed several on Vancouver Island? The authors then turn to the problems of the coasts. In addition to the human impacts, consider this. When sea level rises, the critical natural marsh habitats would normally retreat further back into the land. But now, as cities sprawl for hundreds of miles and homes line the coasts, there is nowhere for this entire ecosystem to go. The authors talk about fixed structures blocking landward migration. The marshlands are one of the richest in life forms. They serve as nature's water filters. They buffer storm surges and welcome traveling birds, but the combination of rising seas and human encroachment may end all that in many places. Meanwhile, North America will join many other parts of the world in a competition for water, they say. Quote, climate change will constrain North America's already heavily utilized water resources, increasing competition among agricultural, municipal, industrial, and ecological uses. Very high confidence. Rising temperatures will diminish snowpack and increase evaporation, affecting seasonal availability of water. Higher demand from economic development, agriculture, and population growth will further limit surface and groundwater availability. End quote. One of those stress points will be the Great Lakes. A combination of reduced winter runoff, increased evaporation in the heat, and expanding human needs may well drain portions of the Great Lakes water system. Plenty of Americans are already talking of gigantic diversions of water from the Great Lakes to the Central Plains and even to the American Southwest. There in Arizona, California, Colorado, and more, scientists are already predicting a sustained drought lasting hundreds of years. Yet populations are still flocking to Phoenix and Las Vegas, as though the fossil water tables were not dropping out of sight, as though the Colorado River is not already drained dry before it reaches the sea. In the West, the whole agricultural system and rivers of the prairies depend upon snowmelt and glacier melt from the Rocky Mountains. But those glaciers are melting as human-induced climate change progresses. And then what? The authors also point out that some of our clean energy from hydroelectric dams may be hit hard as water becomes more scarce. Carrying on, quote, climate change impacts on infrastructure and human health and safety in urban centers will be compounded by aging infrastructure, maladapted urban form and building stock, urban heat islands, air pollution, population growth, and an aging population. Very high confidence. That was followed by this. Without increased investments in countermeasures, hot temperatures and extreme weather are likely to cause increased adverse health impacts from heat-related mortality, pollution, storm-related fatalities and injuries, and infectious diseases. Very high confidence. End quote. That doesn't sound like a good future, and that is what our best scientists say in public. What some say in private is downright scary. But one of the continuing points of this second working group, which focused on the impacts of climate change, is the need and opportunity to adapt ourselves starting now. In fact, there is surprisingly little in this report about how to prevent runaway climate change. They know the Earth's climate has already shifted and concentrate on telling us to get ready while we still can. Enough from me. I'm just going to read you a few more paragraphs from the opening of the report. Historically important countermeasures include early warning and surveillance systems, air conditioning, access to health care, public education, vector control, infrastructure standards, and air quality management. Climate change could more than double the potential for increased heat wave deaths in urban areas. Waterborne diseases and degraded water quality are very likely to increase with more heavy precipitation. Warming and climate extremes are likely to increase respiratory illness, including exposure to pollen and ozone. Climate change is likely to increase risk and geographic spread of vector-borne infectious diseases, including Lyme disease and the West Nile virus. Disturbances like wildfire and insect outbreaks are increasing and are likely to intensify in a warmer future with drier soils and longer growing seasons. Very high confidence. Although recent climate trends have increased vegetation growth, continuing increases in disturbances are likely to limit carbon storage, facilitate invasive species, and disrupt ecosystem services. Over the 21st century, pressure for species to shift north and to higher elevations will fundamentally rearrange North American ecosystems. Differential capacities for range shifts and constraints from development, habitat fragmentation, invasive species, and broken ecological connections will alter ecosystem structure, function, and services. End quote. Yes, it's all going to change. Our whole ecosystem is going to change, and it's already underway. This is such strong stuff. I feel like I should just read that over again. If you would like to read it again, you can download this report in full from the Radio EcoShock website at www.ecoshock.org. Look for our audio on demand menu and choose climate change. I've put the unedited scientist's report on North America there. And the report looks like it is more than 60 pages, but in reality, everything past page 37 is a listing of sources for their conclusions and for each one of their statements, so you can follow up the issues that interest you. There are so many too serious impacts to list here. Just consider the human migration as heat and drought rearrange the climate of Mexico and Central or South America. In fact, people will get to North America, especially to the northern states and Canada, from all over the world, however they can. Or consider the phrase, interconnected economies. Yes, indeed. Globalization means that when China suffers, our production of goods almost stops. Thousands of tropical products and the industries built on them may disappear. Tourism may become super expensive, much more risky, and a carbon taboo. Key forests are already dying, such as the pine of the Rocky Mountain states or the maple sugar bushes of the east. Wildfires may roam at will. Am I the doomsayer? No. I bring you the results of science, the latest and best that we have so far. These kind of reports build on a century of measuring air, water, and weather. Now we can draw on satellite eyes, supercomputer networks, and incredible laboratory studies. Now we can see partway into the future. This is Alex Smith reporting for Radio EcoShock. If you're not too busy this weekend or some evening this week, I urge you to read about the future of North America and the places where we will have to struggle hardest to keep our lives in tune with the changing Earth. To get the scientists' report, just Google Working Group 2 and Final Draft, or look on the climate page of our audio on demand menu at ecoshock.org. That's ECO, shock like an electric shock, .org. Once you've read it, you may want to make your own plans to help your community adapt and survive well yourself.